Good morning. This is Abby with your Daily Berlin Briefing for Wednesday, July 24th, 2019. On this day in 1935, the Dust Bowl heat wave reached its peak, sending temperatures to 43 degrees Celsius in Chicago and 40 degrees Celsius in Milwaukee, Wisconsin. Overnight Sunday into Monday morning, the police and fire brigade were on duty again on Riegerstrasse and the adjacent Liebigstrasse. Per police reports, near the partially occupied house on Riegerstrasse in Friedrichshain, unknown persons had set fire to several pallets, bicycles, and rubbish. A spontaneous rally on Sunday evening with about 150 participants was ended by the police after about 30 minutes, and a short time later, authorities caught three people trying to light more pallets on fire. The unannounced rally took place after police had searched rooms in the Liebig 34 housing project early Saturday morning. As a result, the inhabitants called for the rally at the so-called Dorfplatz or village square, and on Monday morning, more fires were set. Around Riegerstrasse 94 and Liebigstrasse 34, there have been attacks on police officers for years. Repeatedly, officers are pelted with stones and pyrotechnics. The mostly masked perpetrators then find refuge in Riegerstrasse 94. The police union is demanding, quote, that this terrorism finally be fought resolutely by those politically responsible. CDU faction leader Burkhard Dregger told the Berliner Morgenpost, quote, if the opportunity presents itself, the Senate must buy the house on Riegerstrasse, demolish it, leave the property unused for 3 years, and then create affordable living space. By then, the left seen there should be dissolved. The Interior Administration under Interior Senator Andreas Geisel of the SPD is referring to the principle of the rule of law, which also includes the sanctity of the home. Per a spokesman for the Interior Administration, many units in such buildings are not illegally occupied rooms, but apartments with regular rental contracts. Article 13 of the Basic Law also applies there. In 3 years at the latest, all Berliners will have a digital health card on which all data, findings, and medication plans are stored. Health Senator Dilek Kelechi of the SPD stated in an interview with the Berliner Morgenpost, quote, Berlin is a nationwide pioneer. If everyone joins in, it could be a reality in Berlin in 2 to 3 years. According to Kelechi, however, resistance will have to be overcome before this can happen. She added, quote, what's missing so far is acceptance by patients and doctors. This can only be achieved if everyone is aware of the benefits of an electronic patient file. Kelechi sees, quote, huge potential in the health card because data will no longer have to be transferred individually from one doctor to another, but will be stored on the card, stating, quote, electronic availability is an advantage for patient and doctor. Among other things, double diagnoses could be avoided. The health senator does not see any data protection problems, but remarked that data protection must be respected and patients must be able to decide for themselves who can see what data. The introduction of the electronic health card can take place in a number of variants. Only the basic data of the insured persons would be stored on the basic option, similar to the current health cards. The next larger option would be an electronic patient file on which findings, diagnoses, therapy measures, treatment reports, and information on vaccinations can also be stored. And then the next step would be to work with structured data, meaning that valuable insights for diagnosis and therapy become possible in real time. The data can then also be used for research purposes. Germany is a developing country in the digitization of the healthcare system. Electronic patient cards, such as those Berlin is now planning to introduce, have been in existence for years in many countries, such as Australia, Denmark, and Spain. In Germany, they are not yet possible due to the lack of legal requirements. According to the German press agency, yesterday the red-red-green Senate in Berlin decided to ban diesel engines on 8 different roads in the capital. On these streets, driving bans for diesel cars and trucks up to and including the Euro 5 emission standard will apply. Leipziger Straße, Brückenstraße, Reinhardtstraße, Old Moabit, Friedrichstraße, Stromstraße, Hermannstraße, and Silbersteinstraße. There will be exceptions for residents, delivery and care services, and tradespeople. The aim of the driving bans is to improve air quality in the capital. In addition, the 30 km/h speed limit zones in the capital are to be extended to 33 roads with 59 heavily trafficked sections. In addition, buses and municipal vehicles are to be retrofitted and fleets renewed. There will also be more areas where parking is subject to a charge. Traffic Senator Regina Günther of the Greens also announced that motorists will have to pay parking fees on 75% of the inner city area in the future, which as of right now is only 40%. In addition, the districts may increase parking fees, which now cost between 1 and 3 euros per hour, depending on the parking zone. In the future, it is reported to be increased to 2 to 4 euros per hour. The driving bans are based on a ruling by the Berlin Administrative Court. In October of 2018, it called for the introduction of this directive in order to comply with the permissible limits in the city area. There are already driving bans for older diesel engines in several German cities, including Stuttgart and Hamburg. The German Environmental Aid, or DUH, had forced this before the court, and further proceedings are still underway. The background to the ban and the increase in 30 km/h zones is the nitrogen oxide values for which the European Union has set an annual average limit of 40 micrograms per cubic meter. In many German cities, this value is exceeded. Therefore, the instrument of driving bans for diesel vehicles is also used. The pollution with nitrogen dioxide in cities originates to a large extent from diesel exhaust gases. In January, the Environment and Transport Administration had announced that the pollution of the Berlin air with nitrogen dioxide had decreased in the capital last year, but was still above the permissible EU limit value. A survey with preliminary data showed that the annual average was 46 micrograms. In 2017, it was 51, and in the previous year, 52. The upcoming decision of the Senate on driving bans in Berlin was supposed to come earlier, but was delayed. According to the Senate administration, it was not possible to comply with the time limits set by the administrative court, despite considerable efforts. For a complete list of affected roads, please follow the link in our show notes. A security guard at a Berlin refugee center is reported to have refused to call an ambulance for a woman in her 9th month of pregnancy who alerted him to having pain and bleeding during the night. He is said to have justified his refusal with the fact that it was Sunday night when the fire brigade could not be called. He is also said to have not called a taxi, as the hospital is only a few hundred meters away, as reported by the Refugee Council in a press release. The pregnant woman and her husband later reached the hospital on foot and by public transport. There, the woman delivered a deceased baby. The Berlin Refugee Council has now publicized the case. According to the Refugee Council, this is not an isolated case. And the council is now calling on Social Senator Elke Breitenbach and the State Office for Refugee Matters to provide, quote, complete clarification of the incident. Berlin Briefing will continue to update this story as more details arise. To stay updated on local Berlin news every weekday, subscribe to our podcast by visiting berlinbriefing.de, hear us on Spotify and bearradio.org, follow us on social media, or enable our Alexa skill. Berlin Briefing will be back tomorrow. Thanks for listening.